Going to continue the hour, though, by getting a check-in on the General Assembly. A lot happening in Raleigh, ranging from higher education bills. That's our lead story for the day. A number of anti-LGBTQ bills moving through the General Assembly, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Greg Meyer is a state senator representing Orange County in the state Senate, and he joins us now on the air to talk about all of that and more. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. We're going to pull the curtain back on how some politics really gets going in Raleigh, given the topics that you've chosen for today.
The one that I want to begin by asking about, because we've covered the higher education bills, the anti-LGBTQ bills, there's a couple of other issues I want to hit, but one issue that I want to start with, which I have not talked about on the air at all, because I really don't know what's going on with this bill, and we were talking a little bit about it off the air before we started. There is a bill that's gotten a lot of public attention, bipartisan bill with supporters, high-ranking supporters on both sides, some high-ranking opposition on both sides, too. Restructuring Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. What is going on with this bill and how should we understand it?
So I'm going to just come out from the start and say I'm one of the few legislators who has been pretty open in opposition to this bill. And the reason for that is because Blue Cross Blue Shield is using their formidable weight to push this bill through, even though almost none of my colleagues can explain what the actual impact of the bill is going to be. But Blue Cross Blue Shield has a unique place in North Carolina as our state's mandated nonprofit health insurance provider. And for a long time, they were the main contractor for the state health plan, but they just lost that contract, which is going to cost them a significant amount of money. They still will do a lot of nonprofit health insurance. There's a lot of companies and organizations that contract with them. But essentially, they brought this bill forward after they lost the state employees contract and used their leverage to get a large number of my colleagues of both parties to sign on. I think this is a clear example of a case where a group that makes PAC donations to political candidates in the election cycle then comes back and says to folks who took their donations, hey, we need a favor from you. And that's how you got a bunch of people lined up when they really honestly can't explain what the bill does. What does the bill do? It basically allows Blue Cross Blue Shield to act more like a for-profit health insurance company. I think the fears are that it could allow them to take their significant assets, which I'll come back to in a minute, and turn them into a for-profit company. Or it could allow them to enter a competitive healthcare space in the way that we've seen other health insurers do, where maybe they open up clinics where they actually pay the doctors themselves rather than the doctors working for a healthcare provider, which obviously would create more revenue for them. Or it could make it more likely that they would sell to an out-of-state organization like one of the Anthem Blue Cross organizations. It gives them the flexibility to work in the marketplace. Here's why, no matter what they want to do, why I think it's a bad idea for now. Blue Cross Blue Shield has $4.5 billion in reserves after the pandemic. And that is money that they made off of collections from those of us who have used them as our insurer. And I'm pretty sure that other state employees like me and people who have them would prefer that we would have lower health insurance premiums or get some money back from that $4.5 billion than for Blue Cross Blue Shield be able to turn that into something that is a for-profit entity. And I will point out that $4.5 billion that they're holding in their bank accounts as a nonprofit that they can't give to shareholders, they can't invest in other companies, that did come from our pockets, that's the same amount as the state has in our rainy day fund for the entire state of North Carolina.
So with all of that said, I'm still unsure what this bill does, but I feel a little bit better because it seems like no one knows.
Nobody's clear on what it does. It does set them up to act more like a for-profit company. Mm. It gives them flexibility in some ways to compete in the marketplace or to be potentially be able to set up subsidiaries that they can shift assets to. It's just not clear, like, are they going to set up a subsidiary that would be a for-profit subsidiary and then somehow shift some of that money that they've gotten from our premiums into for-profit considerations that they could pay out to shareholders? Like, I really don't think that they've been transparent at all about what they want to do. And even if they do have positive things that they want to do, for their own sake. I want to know how it's positive for the people of North Carolina. That's why they exist.
Is there skepticism about this bill behind the scenes, even from the people who are supporting it? Because it doesn't seem to be. Okay, there is.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there will be some buyer's remorse from some of my colleagues because they will have signed on because they felt like they needed to do something good for Blue Cross Blue Shield because Blue Cross Blue Shield had been good to them in the election season. And then they'll see that this is actually a bad bill for healthcare consumers.
We're speaking with State Senator Greg Meyer. We're talking about right now this insurance bill that's moving through the General Assembly. This one has Democrats and Republicans lined up on both sides in favor and in opposition. So kind of cutting down party lines there, turning to an issue that does not cut across party lines at all. State House Speaker Tim Moore announced last week, the week before, I think it was last week, that Republicans had started to come to an agreement on a 12-week abortion ban, which we haven't seen that bill yet, but we're going to in the next few weeks or month or so. Thoughts about this?
Well, so Tim Moore said the House was close to an agreement on a 12-week ban, so he clearly didn't say that they had come to agreement with the Senate. He didn't even say that they had full agreement. The Speaker has said about every other week this year that we would see an abortion bill the next week, and we haven't. And my message to the Republicans has been, bring it on. The polling on abortion has turned totally against them since Dobbs fell. The people of North Carolina, on whole, want to keep safe access to abortion. They are moving farther, and their base, and their right wing is moving farther and farther away from what middle of the road voters will tolerate. And I don't think we're actually going to see an abortion bill, because I think that the Senate Republicans see how bad the polling is and are not going to risk putting further abortion restrictions onto the floor for a vote. But if they do, good luck to them. Show the people what you are and what you believe in. Because I do believe they'll pay a political price for using this power, this supermajority power that they have. And there will be, the pressure will not be on Democrats. The pressure will be on vulnerable Republicans, either in legislative districts that we can flip or Republicans who are going to run for statewide office next year. If you're John Hardister and you're running for commissioner of labor, you don't want to turn that into a race about abortion. If you're John Bradford and you're running for state treasurer, which is the role that oversees the state health plan, you don't want to turn that race into one about abortion. But you take a vote on abortion restriction, and that's everything you're going to be talking about for the entire rest of your campaign.
Republicans do have a veto-proof majority in both houses, and now with Trisha Cotham moving over, if a bill does make it to the floor, do you think there's unanimous support in that caucus for a bill even to pass, or would it not even get that far?
They're so screwed up on abortion, and here's why. It's because they have far right wingers who are abortion absolutists who believe that voting for a 12-week ban, which would be, we currently have a 20-week abortion limitation. They believe that if they vote for a 12-week ban, reducing it down by 8 weeks, that they would still be voting to allow abortion, and they don't want to vote for anything that will allow any legal abortions. And so those folks on their far right wing are the ones who are holding the entire Republican Party hostage. It used to be that abortion was a debate between Democrats and Republicans. It is now a civil war inside the Republican Party, because the moderates know that even if they do push a 12-week ban or maybe even a 16-week ban, which isn't quite as bad, although not that I'm going to vote for it, right? But they try to say, no, we can only do this time. Well, those zealots are still going to push them the next year to go further and further. And there's no end to this civil war within the Republican Party until they ban abortion completely in all forms and all cases. And it's obvious that the people will not stand for that.
Speaking with State Senator Greg Meyer, trying to get a rundown of everything that's going on in Raleigh, of which there's a lot, and we're not going to be able to get to it all, but several bills moving through the General Assembly right now, all of them anti-LGBTQ and anti-trans in particular, to varying degrees. First question of all of those bills that are moving through, which of them, and again, this is something that I have a hard time kind of parsing just from the outside looking in, which of them are actually likely to make it through the General Assembly and which of them just got filed and are going nowhere?
So look, all of the anti-trans bills are all political smoke. to cover for the fact that they haven't been able to deliver to their base on the abortion issue. Mm. If they were able to get over that abortion quandary I just talked about, they wouldn't be doing these anti-trans bills. They know how stupid this is for them politically as well, but it's all cover and smoke. The one that's the most likely to pass is the one that intervenes in high school athletics and says that, that a transgender girl can't play in any girls' athletics. That bill has passed both the House and Senate in different forms, so they just got to agree on which one they're going to pass. And that bill is ridiculous because there's only been two cases where we've even had that in North Carolina, and we have a process that reviews and decides when it's appropriate to have trans girls playing in girls' sports bands, and all the reasons that they brought up for why this is necessary are just complete obfuscation of what's actually happening. But they are clearly willing to pursue an agenda of hate as a way to cover up for their not moving on abortion. And they're putting so much time and energy and so much media coverage into these anti-trans bills instead of working on anything that clearly has broad support, like gun safety, like expanding healthcare access, like affordable housing, teacher pay. I mean, it's all just to create this cover for the lack of action on other things.
So what's happening in the General Assembly, or what should be happening that we should be focusing on?
Well, that's the challenge, Aaron. I mean, like, what's happening is not much. It's all of these goofy political bills when we have things that we should be focusing on. Today, Senator Batch, Chapel Hill High alum, and I are going to be having a press conference with Moms Rising on a bunch of worker-focused bills, a bill that would raise the minimum wage and have a guaranteed minimum wage, so we wouldn't have people working at some substandard tip minimum wage, a bill that would guarantee every worker in North Carolina paid sick leave. A bill that would guarantee every person in North Carolina the ability to have paid family leave if you need to take care of your family. I mean, that's what we should be doing, is thinking about who are the working people that drive this state's economy, and what do we have to do to take care of them? How do we make sure that working people who run into illness, either of their own or their families, are able to keep working, because that's what every business needs to keep running.
Speaking with State Senator Greg Myron as we start wrapping up this conversation. For people, I think I asked this question to Renee Price a couple of weeks ago, but I'll ask you the same thing. For people who are in your district, or who are in a district where they're happy with their individual legislator and their priorities and their focus points, but generally unhappy with the General Assembly, what do they do? Like, who do they reach out to?
I mean, they should write and tell me that they're happy with my representation.
First things first, but like, to actually move the dial,
ones.
Though. Yeah.
I mean, it's about a team game. If you're a member of a professional group where you have a professional organization, like let's say you're a nurse, you need to join up with the nurses' professional associations to advocate on a statewide level for some of these things. If you're someone who's not part of an organization like that, and join up with some other civic organization, some advocacy organization about a cause that you believe in, because those organizations are the ones that work across the state with all legislators, and they need a base of people to help drive their energy, whether that be to come down to rally for a lobby day, or to send emails, or to make donations to help pay for them to have a paid lobbyist, whatever it is. They're all people-driven organizations.
Anything else that folks should know?
I mean,
dozens of things.
Of things. So just in terms of the schedule, people always want to know about the budget and pay raises. I think the Senate budget will be done about the middle of May. I expect we will have a budget enacted by the end of the year. I think it's likely that the Senate budget will propose raises that are smaller than those that came out of the House. So I don't expect that we're going to see bigger numbers than what the House proposed in a final budget. But for all of those teachers and state employees and other who live in this area and dependent upon those decisions for their livelihood, I do think you'll have an answer by June 30th.
Is that May date later than expected? Because the House was real quick on theirs.
Well, no, it's just that the House was earlier. This is a rare occasion where the House actually passed a budget before April 15th, because
right.
It doesn't really make sense to do that, because we need to know what the tax revenues are from April 15th before we can actually do a budget. And it just shows how screwed up the Republican budgeting process is, because they decide to set the budget based on an arbitrary spend limit rather than knowing how much money we have to spend. nobody does this in your household budget. No, you know, we all figure out like what's our income first and then how to manage it rather than, well, we're going to cap our spending here. It's a very hostile approach to the people of North Carolina, and especially to people who work for the state.
We'll keep following all those issues and more. State Senator Greg Meyer, pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Good to be here, Aaron.